I'm Jason Lopez for Podtech.net at the M&A Outlook 2008, a one-day conference presented by The Deal in New York, held on November 7, 2007. The opening panel at the conference, Will the Good Times Continue to Roll in 2008, evolved into a discussion about the importance of global deals. As panelists noted, after the summer's credit crunch, many good opportunities were offshore and continue to be. In an interview after the panel, the moderator Greg Peterson, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, pointed out the complexities of deals overseas and overseas investment in the U.S.
I thought one of the things that was interesting was that one of the questions from the audience about, you know, China and, you know, do they now have the ability to understand the Western, you know, deal making? And I think, you know, there's two sides to that story. Part one is the the buyers who are going to China and trying to do deals would like a little bit more transparency and understand how the governance process is going to work and who do they need to get approval from to get their deals done. The second piece is I've just recently been doing some transactions in the U.S. for Chinese buyers. And what I have found is even after you're done with the entire process and it's, you're at a point where you now expect we're going to get the bid in and the, you know, the financing is going to get lined up and the deal is going to close, they still have so many internal processes, it's not really clear to me who's making the decision. And I find that while they have difficulty selling their assets, they have difficulty buying them because of the same issues about who has to be involved in the decision making.
M&A deals overseas have been the bread and butter for many technology companies, which need educated workforces, cooperative political environments, and low costs. As the rest of the world builds its own software and hardware industries, companies like IBM see the benefit of adding offshore companies that help with the firm's global product offerings.
The world is still a varied environment.
That's John Noon, managing consultant for IBM, who was part of the late morning panel Cross-Border Bonanza, Old World, New World.
If you think back to when IBM sold Lenovo, I mean, that decision was not necessarily, it was sort of a combination of how can we get the best capital for our needs, but also how can we leverage its valuable business and put it near where it needs to be in terms of the manufacturing operation. So I think it's a very complex thing. You have to look at what borders are you crossing, what is the protectionist or the regulatory environments of those, and how you can best leverage them. IBM is definitely has in the recent past been investing a lot, not necessarily in acquisitions, but in building up its China capability as well as previously to that India. So we know that there is needs in those areas, and we are using that as a springboard into those geographies.
Now, every country wants to create its own Silicon Valley now because of the power of some PCs and brains.
Well, I think it comes down to companies that are valuable for a couple of reasons. One of them, they have some unique capability, a technology, something that provides them the uniqueness. Another thing is their market environment. Do they have a killer capability in a certain environment such that they can leverage it that may be different than what you have? So I think those are sort of two ways of looking at it, the way a company like IBM, you know, works.
Let's step back for just a moment and look at it in terms of where you're doing a lot of your deals now. Probably a lot of them happening in Europe and the United States.
Certainly they are.
And if these Silicon Valleys start popping up in other countries.
You're right. I mean, we've acquired a lot of the U.S. companies. If you look at the acquisition trend, many of them are there, but there are certainly ones in Europe and Asia Pacific that are, you know, potentials, and we would certainly try to find those opportunities.
For technology, it's going to be an exciting time in this area.
I think it has always been an exciting time and just keeps becoming harder to read the tea leaves because of that the world is going.
Whether a global deal is a private equity investment or a corporate strategy, the questions of patriotism and protectionism persist. Tom Burnett is Executive Vice President and Director of Research at Wall Street Access. He presented a view of the markets during the morning panels. I spoke with him about globalization during a networking break. One thing that I'm hearing on a couple of these panels, I've never heard this before. So many people saying this as if we all knew it. The U.S. isn't the dominant economy anymore.
Well, I think from a statistical point of view, that's certainly getting to be the case. China and Japan have a combined GDP of around 10 trillion. We are pushing 14, but if you put Europe in there, we're probably, 40% of the world's GDP now, way down from 20 years ago where we were clearly more than half. The weak dollar is a big part of that too, because you have to translate output in Japan, China, India at the new currency rate. All of a sudden, they have a bigger share of the global pie now.
Yeah. Well, why isn't anybody getting upset about this?
I think that there's a view now that we're in a more of a global economy with the internet and all of the speed of information transfer now, that it seems to be the view that it's okay to be a major dog, if not the top dog, in a more global situation. There are opportunities now that weren't available 20 years ago. We can learn about them faster now. So I think that our role is still significant, if not leading, but we are now aware of the opportunities abroad. Because of publicity, the internet, the fact that you can, on a touchtone phone, watch a movie in a different language, I think we've become part of a global world. I think ultimately that's a good thing. I don't want to see us slip into protectionism and trade wars, which will hurt both parties. That's a big risk. If we do react the way that you had mentioned, that, well, we're not the top dog, we have to protect our industries, that's not a good way to be. We don't make buggy whips anymore like we did 100 years ago. But we still have 138 million people working here, so we have to evolve.
For PodTech.net, I'm Jason Lopez in New York at the Deals M&A Outlook 2008.